Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Calhoun counties. My name is Sheila Ramsey. I'm your host today. Our show is inspired by the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. Today, we're talking about the 2018 point-in-time homeless count coming up at the end of the month. Our guests are Kathy Morgan, Housing Programs Director at OLACAP, and volunteer extraordinaire and housing advocate, Barbara Morey. Thank you both for coming in today. I really appreciate it. I know you're both busy. This must be a busy, busy time of the year for you guys. So, Kathy, what is the point-in-time count, and how do you accomplish it?
The point-in-time count is done nationally. It's done on the same day across the United States in every town, city, county, every little place that you can find. People that are homeless, living on the streets, living in their cars, living in a place that's not really fit for human habitation. And to get an accurate count within each county is important to the federal government and actually to the state to find out all the money that's put into homeless programs, where are we being effective? Is the count going up? Is the count going down? Do we need to adjust? That's really the idea of the entire count.
Now, I know that it's one day a year, but do we do it differently in this county?
It is one day of the year. It is January 25th this year. It's generally the third week in January every single year. And in this county, we do it the same as every other county.
Oh, I thought you did like the whole week. You had a week to do it.
We still have to only be able to count where they were that night.
Oh, okay.
So we can actually go out for a week at a time for that entire week.
But we need to ask the question, where will you be sleeping or where were you sleeping?
On that date.
On January
okay.
25th.
Okay, great. So would you like to introduce Barbara?
I have the pleasure of introducing Barbara Morey. Barbara Morey is a volunteer, but more than that. Barbara Morey is a housing advocate. Barbara has been working with me in the housing field for at least 3 or 4 years now. She gets things done. She has a loud voice and she has a good following. She has a good heart and she's always looking for the benefit of people in need.
I have heard your name, Barbara, so many times from so many people. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure for me to be here.
So tell us how you got involved and tell us what you do as a volunteer on that day.
Okay, I got involved in the point-in-time count for a couple of reasons. One of them is, back 25 years ago today, my husband committed suicide, and I remarried, and my other husband then was a street person. He was an alcoholic, and he ended up dying under a bridge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That was kind of a point where I became very interested in what do we do for people who have problems and are living on the streets and how do we provide some shelter for them. So since 1983, I have been providing shelter in my home, wherever that may be. And at one point, I actually owned 3 houses. I can't believe it now, but I actually owned 3 houses and a small apartment building with 6 units in it. But my goal has always been to make sure that as many people as possible get housed. And 10 years ago, this year, was when the housing bubble was happening. And I got especially involved then because my house was one of those that went into foreclosure. And with the help of Occupy and several people here in town, Lynn Kessler's office, she was the state legislator at that time, we were able to save my house. But not just mine, we had 7 senior homes that were all up for in foreclosure at that time in Port Towns in Jefferson County. We were able to save 6 out of the 7 homes who were in foreclosure because of the actions of this community and volunteers and people who were in Occupy. The 7th one, was, she said it was just too much stress for her and she just turned the house back to the bank. The 6 families are still in their homes 10 years later. This was
wow.
Due to all this sense of volunteering and commitment and compassion that comes out of this community that is very, very rare.
So your personal experience gave you a sort of deep understanding and over the years, slowly, you have built into this fount of information and energy to make something happen in this community. And this is the story of real volunteerism right here. This is great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm really fortunate because as my career, I was an educational administrator. And what I learned from that was that there are back doors and windows and sometimes alleyways that you can access to get services for people. And it's a matter of being gutsy enough to say, let's do this, or can we do this? And if I hear why no, then the answer is, well, why not? And then dealing with whatever it is that's why not. It's very similar to what Aislinn has done. And I can't remember her name. Sorry, her last name. Sorry, Aislinn.
Palmer.
Okay. Has done at the Bayside in Port Hadlock to come in. And she went in with the building there and said, okay, I want to have 110 units of housing. And she was told the septic won't handle that.
Right.
She said, okay, how many will it handle? And she said, and they said 10. And she said, you got it. And she went right for it. And that's the spirit of volunteerism here in Jefferson County. Hers was a career kind of thing and right. a commitment business-wise, but it was also based on a real need in the community.
So what goes on for the volunteers who help you do this count? Where do you do the count? How does it work out? Do you work in teams? What's the nitty-gritty of that day?
Okay, first of all, everybody goes through a training. Kathy sponsors a training, and we have somebody coming in from the State Department of Commerce who knows all the legal beagle stuff about the survey forms we use and how they operate. And then people get signed up for various locations. First of all, we go where we know homeless people are. For example, the food bank or the boiler room, sometimes the public library, churches, meal sites, that kind of thing. So we go where the people are, first of all. That's where the majority of our count comes from. So whether it's in Chimicum or whether it's at the Tri-Area Center or whether it's here, we really get teams of people to go in and help count all the individuals who are homeless by the legal definition, which is broader than just, you know, I'm living in a tent on the street, to count all of these people. And then we provide like some kind of incentive for them or thank you for them for participating, like whatever, small gifts like socks or a bus pass or something of that order.
Soup,
hot food.
And so what is the training, Kathy? What does that look like?
So every year, of course, HUD has to refine their definition of who is to be counted and how you are to do that. So they basically have to go over with us what the new guidelines would be. I know now that we have always been able to count people that were living in abandoned travel trailers or motorhomes, and now we can't because HUD says they have a roof over their head. Whether they're hooked to any services, they still have a roof over their head. So this year we won't be able to count them. So it'll just be talking about some of those things. We count them anyways, just so you know. My volunteers go out and we count everybody. And so we have official count, but then our unofficial count, which we can't right. report back out, is much larger.
So a tool shed, does that count as housing?
You know, a tool shed, they haven't quite got there yet. However, if it is a tiny home, considered a tiny home, whether it's hooked to services or not, then you're housed. It's really a weird definition.
Why?
And they do change
why would
that.
They do that? Is it to winnow down the number? I mean, I hate to sound Machiavellian about this, but why would they?
It's exactly what I said. Oh. So, you know, how do you look good when you have so many people that are homeless right now? Our numbers are going up. And it's not because the government is not helping put housing money out there. It's not, because we do have a lot of that in Jefferson County. The problem is the lack of housing, the lack of affordable housing. There's just no housing, and that's nationwide right now. Your homeless count is going up and up and up, even though they're pouring more money into the communities. So I guess they have to kind of finite that number somehow to justify the money going out. That's totally my guess.
So when is the training?
The training will be January 8th.
January 8th.
I have not set a time yet. It'll be at the Tri-Area Community Center. It'll probably be around 1 o'clock.
And how long will it go?
It depends on how many questions people ask, because we're there to answer every single question people might have. Trying to go out and count homeless is not of the faint of heart. I mean, you really have to be dedicated to be able to go out and do that. So,
and you have to be really open. I did it one year with you, and the thing that blew me away, I had not expected, was that people would say to me, I'm not homeless. Then you find out in conversation that they have no running water, they have no heat. That just blew me away. They don't want to be called homeless. And number two, the level of community among the homeless that I spoke to was overpowering. They would go to one person's house and make dinner and share the dinner with five people. I learned a lot. And I'm wondering, do volunteers tell you how much they learn from this experience?
They do.
Yeah.
Every year. We have different stories that come back Probably the ones that I find the most, well, I find them all compelling, but we count a lot of people in Quilcena and Brennan, and they're the ones who will say, we're
That's
housed.
Where I was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're housed. Even though HUD may define those guidelines to now agree with them, technically they're not really housed. They're living in sheds on farmland, and the farmers are allowing them to stay there because there is nowhere else to go. They don't want to be counted, but they want you to know about other people. And if just by counting yes. them helps the other people, then they there. Want you to count them.
So the training is on January 8th. We're not sure what time. It might start at 1 o'clock. And to find out about that training, who would they contact?
Contact myself at OLECAP.
Yes.
And the phone number is 385-2571. And it's Kathy Morgan. And just call and we'll be able to give out all the information.
There also will be emails going out. There's a number of groups of volunteers around the community. So as much as possible, we'll be sending notes out to them and saying, okay, folks, it's January 8th and here's where we're going and let's carpool. So there will be notices going out in the community. I'd like to even put some posters up, but we'll see if we get to that this year or not.
Right. So is there anything else about that day that you want to talk about?
Yes.
Yes.
The perception that people have of homeless people is that they're drug addicts, they are mentally ill, they are dangerous, they are aggressive, all of these kinds of things. And I've been doing this counting for several years now and working with people who are homeless or have been homeless for a long time. What I have found is that there are some people who have very, very special needs. But the vast majority of people that we're working with and we're counting are moms with kids. We have the third highest number of vets, not rate of vets, but number of vets in the state, homeless vets in the state, behind King and Thurston counties. And then comes Jefferson County, not per capita, but the number of vets that are homeless in our community. The families, we had 100 kids who were students last year who were homeless in Jefferson County.
That were counted.
That
actually,
were counted. There were more.
Three times that amount.
Yes, but that were counted. 100 kids. When we're counting, we don't send first-time counters out into the encampments out by the mill or something like that. Kathy does most of those.
I like going out there.
Yeah, and she's formed a rapport with people who are there and knows
she's the
them.
Housing lady.
She is. She is. And so she goes out there and takes care of a lot of that. But when we get into the lunch programs or food banks and stuff, when we sit and talk to people, just person to person, it becomes a very compassionate but a very friendly kind of exchange. It is not at all what you would expect, like, well, I'm...
It's a conversation.
It's an absolute conversation, and it's friend-to-friend conversation. It's not from some government authority person to a lowly
community
person.
Community members speaking to one another. They could be your neighbors.
Right. Very well stated.
And this is what Kathy did when I was there. She set the tone, and the tone was set by this statement. These are our neighbors. These are our community members who happen to be homeless mm-hmm. or experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. That set the whole tone.
Yep. Their kids go to school with your kids.
They're on the bus with us. They're in the library with us. They're at the store with us.
Yeah. They could be your bus driver. They could be the person that serves your meals. They're the person that you probably already know, but didn't know they were struggling.
Right. If you want to do something important, this would be the thing. Counting. Doing the PIT count, which is the homeless count every year.
And PIT stands for point in time. That idea that it is all across the nation, it's one time. It's a snapshot picture of where we are in homelessness at that time.
Really quick question. Let's just hit one time on volunteerism in general. Barbara Morey, volunteer extraordinaire.
I am now retired. I'm 70 years old. And I am, as a volunteer, I am using everything that I ever experienced, every seminar I ever went to, every reprimand I got from work, every little bit of information that I have gathered over my entire life, every experience I use in some way with when I'm volunteering. So it is the culmination of a whole lifetime of experiences, and it is so rewarding, and it is sometimes keeps me more busy than I'd like, but it is a heart. It's a passion. It is a passion, and when it gets to that point and you can do it because you're retired, it makes a difference. It's very, very nice. So
thank you so much for being here and talking with us. And Kathy, it's good to see you again. I miss those little talks across the wall.
I just wanted to add a couple of things. So when Barbara talked about her struggles with her home being foreclosed on, I would just like to point out that not only was she able to save her home, but she also houses some of the hardest people that we have in our community to house. And they would not be able to find housing anywhere else. So if she would have lost her house, four or five other people would have lost their housing as well. So I just wanted to say that. And the other thing about Barbara that I is she can be a little strong, come across very strong. She's very passionate about her beliefs. And we were at a conference in Spokane, and she was actually doing a class, which I showed up for. I was very happy to see. I have been trying to temper her enthusiasm maybe a little bit, but I realized at that conference when the state legislator for Spokane County stood up and spoke to 300-400 people that were in that room about these retired little old ladies that would come and pound on his door every single day and drive home what their need was in their community and how they were so successful for them to continue. I'll never get her to stop.
No, you won't.
No, will you try? Thank you both for coming in today. We've been talking with Kathy Morgan of OLECAP and Barbara Morey, both who are involved in the 2018 Point in Time Count coming up at the end of January. If you'd like to have more information or to volunteer, you can call Kathy at the OLECAP offices, 360-385-2571. Thank you. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9 and your host, Sheila Ramsey. Our production coordinator and today's engineer is Mike Schletzer. I would like to thank KPTZ program manager Larry Stein and operations manager Kate Ingram for all their support. A special thanks goes to Pat Rogers, who makes sure you can hear Everybody Can on the podcast at kptz.org. I also want to thank all the volunteers who work many hours to bring us eclectic music along with local news and conversation here on the North Olympic Peninsula.